I'm going to invite Rusty Tugman up here. Rusty's going to be serving as our interim minister, and we welcome here as a brother in Christ, in the season that we're in, a time of transition, and I just want to pray over him as we get started today. Father, thank you so much for being our God, our creator. We do worship and adore you. I thank you for every brother and sister that's here. May we be encouraged. May we lift you up. May we walk step by step with you. Be with Rusty as he leads us over the next few weeks and months, and we pray to bless him and guide us as we listen to him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for that. Well, good morning. And hello, my name is Rusty Tugman, and I'm your new interim preacher, and I have to say that I am so excited and honored to be partnering with you here at Edgemere. But I've got to ask you this. Have you ever been the new kid in town? Or the new kid at school, or the new employee at work? If you have, then you know it's kind of an awkward experience, isn't it? The summer before my freshman year of high school, we moved to a new town and a new school, and I had to start all over with meeting people and making friends. About a month before school started, they held tryouts for the high school baseball team, and I couldn't wait to try out. I was so excited that I got up early on the morning of the tryouts, put all my gear in my gym bag, and rode my bike from my house to the baseball field. I slung my soft cover gym bag across the handlebars to hold it there. And on the ride, I was going down this hill, and I was going a little bit too fast. And so I was pumping my brakes because of that. And when I did, part of that bag got stuck between the brake and the front tire, which caused the bike to immediately seize up. And when that happened, I went flying over the handlebars onto the pavement. And I ended up fracturing my elbow, which meant that I didn't get to try out for the team that season. And I had to start school as the new guy with a cast on my arm, being known as the guy who fell off his bike and broke his arm. It was not a good beginning. Well, here I am all these years later, the new kid in town, and I'm hoping that this gets off to a better start than that. To that end, I want to take just a couple of minutes and just tell you why I'm here. So I work with a group called Interim Ministry Partners, who you're familiar with. And what we do is we come alongside churches who are in between preachers to provide a consistent pulpit presence, to consult with church leaders on issues related to church health and effectiveness, and to guide a successful search for a new preacher. And basically, I'm here during this season of transition to support and encourage you in a way where the good ministry that you're already doing in this community and beyond just keeps right on rolling. Now, I've been in congregational ministry for about 30 years. But almost 4 years ago, I became the leadership trainer and workplace coach for the Oklahoma Department of Human Services, where I coach, train, and advise the supervisors, managers, and executives of Oklahoma's largest state agency. And while my context has changed, my purpose has not. As a follower of Jesus Christ, my purpose is to make Jesus known to others wherever I am. And that's the same for congregations. In congregational life, people come and go. Preachers even come and go. Societal norms and trends ebb and flow, but the mission of the church stays the same. We exist to invite people to Jesus. We exist to introduce people to Jesus as King. And one of my favorite examples of this is found in John chapter 4. So if you have your Bible or Bible app, go ahead and turn with me to John chapter 4. That chapter contains a story that's probably familiar to most of you. It tells us the story of the woman at the well, where Jesus, a Jew, meets a Samaritan woman. He's traveling through Samaria. He stops at the well of Jacob. He's thirsty. This woman is there filling her jars with water. And Jesus asked her for a drink. But what's interesting is that initially this woman protests And she says, wait a second, you're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan, you can't ask me for a drink because Jews and Samaritans just didn't mix. Kind of like Texas and OU fans, right? And so she says, wait, this isn't right. You're not supposed to be doing this. You're not even supposed to be talking to me. But Jesus breaks all of the society's boundaries to be able to make a connection with this woman. And if you look at verse 10, Jesus answers her and says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. He told her, go call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you've had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you're a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. If you skip down to verse 28, then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? They came out of the town and made their way toward him. And then if you can skip to verse 39, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now, we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. I love that story because I love the transformation that we see in real time with this woman at the well. The reason why she's at the well at the time that she's there is because she's trying to avoid people. If we would have started earlier in John chapter 4, we would see that Jesus arrives at this well, and this woman is at this well at a time where nobody would be drawing water. They would have done that earlier in the day. But this woman is there at this time because she knows nobody else will be there. And we kind of scratch our heads at that and say, okay, well, what's going on here? Why is the woman there at this odd time? Why might she want to avoid people? Well, Jesus gives us a hint when he tells us her story. And she's got a story. She's got a past. And it could be that she's not really proud of that past. It could be that that past has left her with a lot of regrets. It could be that that past has filled her with a lot of shame. And maybe she just doesn't want to get the look from people. Have you ever had that look from someone? Kind of that judgmental look, or maybe even that look of pity. And we just try all we can to avoid that look. And that's what this woman is doing. Now imagine how she must feel about herself if she's hiding in this way. She must feel worthless. She must feel as if she has no value, that nobody wants her, nobody wants to be around her, and consequently she doesn't want to be around anyone. And yet, there's Jesus. And Jesus breaks all of society's cultural norms to make a connection with this woman. And what happens at the end of this story is remarkable, because what happens is the woman leaves Jesus, and where does she go? She runs right to the town, to the very people she's trying to avoid, and she says to them, "Come and see. You've got to see this person who I've just met. Could this be the Messiah?" And the people listen to her. It's amazing. So how do we explain this? What gives her the courage to go to the people she's been avoiding and invite them to come see Jesus? Well, it's because she has come to see that Jesus is the Messiah. That title meant that Jesus is the ruling authority. He is Lord. He is King. And I want you to think about what that means for us in a very practical way. As king, Jesus reigns over sin, which is why he is able to forgive sin. As king, Jesus reigns over death, which is why he's able to give us hope in the face of death. As king, Jesus reigns over our suffering, which is why he can redeem our suffering. As king, Jesus reigns over our circumstances, which is why he's able to give us joy no matter what circumstance we find ourselves in. As king, Jesus reigns over the storms in our lives, which is why Jesus is able to calm the storms in our lives. And as king, Jesus reigns over darkness, which is why he is able to shine light in the midst of darkness. Now, I want you to think about that. Jesus forgives sin. Jesus gives hope in the face of death. Jesus redeems suffering. Jesus fills us with joy. Jesus calms storms. And Jesus is the source of light in the midst of darkness. Those are all things that our friends and neighbors desperately want and are desperately searching for. Unfortunately, many of them are searching for those things in all the wrong places. We know that Jesus is the only one who can provide these types of things, the type of things that every single human being desperately yearns for. These are the things that are at the heart of our deepest desires, and they can only be found in Jesus, which is why we've been given the task to say to people, "Come and see," to point people to Jesus so that they can experience what they are most desperate to experience. That's why this church is not going into a holding pattern. We are not going to be sitting around waiting until the next guy comes along. Because the truth is that that core purpose is not dependent upon a preacher. It's dependent upon Christ. And so, we're not pushing pause on the missional efforts of this church in this city, because we have a God-given mandate to love Jesus and love others, and we believe with all our hearts that when we're doing that, the world is changed. Today, I'm introducing myself to you in a way, but what I'm really doing is I'm just helping us to remember what our core purpose is, what our core mission is, both as a congregation, but also as individual believers, as individual followers of Jesus Christ. We are called to go into the world, to go into our community, to step into the lives of our friends and neighbors and to point them to Jesus, to say, come and see. Come and see Jesus. Come and see the Messiah. Come and see the Lord. Come and see the Savior. Come and see the King. And that's my invitation to you this morning. Come and see. Come and see Jesus. No matter what's going on in your life, Jesus can help. No matter what you're dealing with in your personal life, in your professional life, Jesus can give you peace. But what I'm also inviting you to is I'm also inviting you into the mission that Jesus has given you when you became a baptized believer of Christ, and that is to share him with others, to say, come and see. So often, churches go through a season of transition like the one that you're going through, and everything just kind of grinds to a halt because they do put themselves in a holding pattern, waiting until the next preacher. Well, we'll do that when the new guy comes along. We'll get to that whenever the new guy's here. No, let's not do that now. Let's save that for the new guy. But here's the deal. The new guy, he's just simply going to be a resource for you, to help you, to encourage you, to support you, to spur you on to do what God has given you to do, to invite others to see Jesus, to introduce others to Jesus. There's no reason why this church can't keep right on growing through this season of transition. Because every single one of us know people in our lives who need Jesus. And all we've got to do is say, come and see. Come and see. This morning, come and see Jesus. I know we'll have some elders who will be waiting for you out in the back. At least I hope that's right. That's what I was told. So I don't know all the processes yet, but I think they're going to be back there waiting for you if you want to talk with them and pray with them. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to see what God's going to be doing through us over the next couple of months. Let's stand and sing together.